All right, thank you very much. And hello again, radio friends. How in the world are you? You doing all right today? Oh, I trust so. I'm fine, thank you. Nice of you to ask. Feel great. Now we're looking at the second chapter of 2 Peter. And Peter is citing different times when God judged ungodliness and when he rescued people and so on. Let's look at that and see exactly what happened. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and reserved them in chains against the day of judgment. Now, what was the essence of that sin? Do you remember? Satan said, I will exalt my throne into the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High. It was the attempt to you might say, play God instead of God. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? This is Isaiah chapter 14. How art thou cut down to the ground, thou which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Talking about Satan there. Our Lord Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, always from eternity to eternity, God the Son, was present when Satan was cast out. Now why? Because he wanted to take the place of God. Does it ever occur to you that our so-called New Age beliefs and the various types of religious fadism that show up from time to time all have the same dreary theme, and that is, you don't need God, you can be God yourself. That's the essence of what we call New Age thinking, you know that. And it's the essence of the stubborn, proud spirit of the human heart. I don't need God, I'll make it on my own. Well, what happens? The wages of sin is death. Who hath woe? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. You go the way of the transgressor. He calls the way of the transgressor is hard. Be sure your sin will find you out, the Bible says. Talk to anybody in the AIDS ward. Talk to anybody in the wards of the hospital where people are dying of sexually transmitted diseases and say, is this what you wanted? No, this isn't what I wanted. I thought I was having a good time. Now you're dying because of it. Well, you say, Brother Cook, that's pretty drastic. You know, you're talking to some very nice people. Well, I know that, and I'm grateful for you. But I want you to realize that the spirit of getting along without God is something against which we all need to guard. There's a modern writer that has a book out just recently where she says we are guilty of trying to play God. Even in our praying, we tell God what to do and how to do it. Now, I believe in supplication. The Bible says, let your requests be made known unto God. So I believe in asking God for things. But when it comes to being guided and when it comes to obeying the word of God, you better let him be God. You better obey what he says. No, the sin that was judged in the Satan and his crowd that were thrown out of heaven, it was the sin of trying to replace God. And he tried the same approach in the Garden of Eden. He said, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, just by disobeying him, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And all through the centuries that have followed, he's been enticing people with the same approach. You can better yourself by dumping your dependency on God. Don't believe it. You need him. Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. You can't accomplish anything without your blessed Lord. Now, what was the problem with the old world, the antediluvian culture, the people that lived before the flood? God saw that every thoughts of the imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. It was a continued surrender to evil that did them in. And Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. That's what it says here in verse 5, a preacher of righteousness. So they heard the message. They heard him preach. They laughed at him, no doubt, and jeered and didn't receive the word, but they heard him and rejected it. So what is the problem there? The problem is a continued surrender to evil. Now that's the next step. It's not by chance that these things are listed as they are. The first step is saying, I think I can better myself without God. The next step is to say, let me give myself completely to evil. And it comes to the place where your values are reversed. And so you go over to Romans 1, where Paul is discussing what happens to people in this relationship. And it says, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. The ferocity with which certain groups that are dedicated to immorality resist any effort to curb them or to change them is a testimony, it seems to me, to this very thing. They've given themselves over to sin. And that's what did in the old world, the antediluvian world, that people who lived before the flood. Now, what's the answer to living in a world like that? Because we're in that kind of a world today. It said he saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. What did Noah do? What was true of Noah that was so very special? Do you recall? We'll go back. You'll hear me turning the pages in my big Bible. That's what that rustling sound is. And you go back to the sixth chapter of Genesis. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he's also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And God saw, verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it grieved him at his heart that he had made man on the earth. But Noah, verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 7, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Noah was righteous. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What's the point here? The point is, you live in a dirty world. You live in a world that is ferociously resisting the truth of God. If you want people to be offended, just mention Jesus to them. You can speak of God, all right, but you mention the Lord Jesus to people and they take offense. Why? Well, Paul called that the offense of the cross, because that reminds them that they are sinners and need to be saved. And so we're living in a dirty world, in a world that is ferocious in its opposition to the gospel. What do? Cave in? Run away? No. You keep on walking with your Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God said, I've seen you as righteous. Now, how was he seen as righteous? Number one, it was the grace of God. Noah knew how to pray. Noah knew how to come to what we call the throne of grace. Noah knew how to obtain cleansing and forgiveness. And God knew how to make him a righteous man. And so he lived a godly life, and he preached a godly sermon for those 120 years while the ark was being built. You too, beloved friend, can stand for your Lord in a culture that is largely non-Christian. In some cases, it's anti-Christian. Some of the writers nowadays are talking about the post-Christian era. They say Christianity is passé. That's what they're saying. But I want to tell you something. The gospel isn't passé, and God is still on the throne, and you can live for Him in blessing and in influence and in power every day of your life. Well, here you have it then. I said the first step was the one that Peter mentioned, the angels that sinned. Their problem was they wanted to do away with God and be like God, be greater than God. The second was a whole generation of people given over to sin. And then he said, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, specific types of sin. Read what was true of Sodom and Gomorrah. From that historical fact, we get what we call the term sodomy. And God judged them for that sinful life. But again, delivered just Lot, who was vexed with the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God knows how to deliver. So again, what's the point? You live in a society, great segments of which are dedicated to specific types of sin, chiefly sexual sin nowadays. Along with that, we have the drug epidemic, and we have the crime wave that goes along with it, and we have the mounting wave of New Age ideas that teach people that you can be God in your own life. But the great problem is that men's hearts are sinful and their ways are sinful, and specifically our society, to the dismay of folk who are studying epidemiology, they say it's an epidemic now. Yes, it is. But he says the Lord knows how to deliver. How does God deliver you out of a filthy world? Number one, He saves you by His grace. Number two, He keeps you day by day, you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Number three, He programs your mind by His Word. When you put His Word into the computer of your mind, the Holy Spirit of God brings it out into your consciousness just when it's needed. And number four, He rescues you by the power of His indwelling Holy Spirit when you're under the pressure of temptation. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So here you have it. There was an angelic rebellion. They tried to do away with God. Then there was a complete life of sinfulness in the pre-flood culture. Then there was specific sinfulness in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, God knows how to deliver. Take your stand, beloved, on the fact that if you belong to the Lord Jesus, you're in His hands and He's going to keep you. You be true to your prayer life and to your Bible study, and be true to God in obeying His will, and He'll deliver you. I promise you, the Bible says so, and I believe it. Dear Father, in this sinful world, keep us clean, deliver us from temptation, help us, O God, to glorify Thee. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just heard Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener-supported. For more information or to find out how you can help continue this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611, or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 7238. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.